Paul W. Smith can be found on Focus from noon to 2 p.m. on 760 WJR. Now back to JR Morning with Chris Renwick, Lloyd Jackson, and Jamie Edmonds. Once again, in for Chris, here's Republican strategist Jason Rowe.
Jason, have you seen any hybrids on the road more than you thought?
I don't by sight know what a hybrid looks like.
Okay.
But I've been reading about this Corvette E-Ray.
Oh, yeah.
I want to test drive one of those.
I'm sure you do. Yeah. Well, listen, if you've noticed more hybrids on the road lately, you're not imagining it. As gas prices climb past $4 a gallon amid global tensions, American car buyers shifting gears fast. New data showing hybrid sales surging, far outpacing both traditional vehicles and even electric cars. And so what's driving the change, and why aren't EVs seeing the same boost? Joining us now, Paul Eisenstein, editor-in-chief of Headlight.com and author of a new deep dive on this trend in his Substack, The Car Collective. Paul from South Korea. Welcome back to JR Morning.
Hey, good to be with you. By the way, it is headlight.news. You don't have to put a .com in there. Headlight.news.
Okay.
And thank you for mentioning. Thanks for mentioning the new Substack.
Yes.
If people want to subscribe, they can go to thecarcollective.substack.com. That has the .com.
And this morning,
in fact, I have a column, and it's also up on the site as a story on hybrids. And you mentioned the E-Ray. I think you're referencing a story in the Detroit News. I'm having dinner with the author right now. As soon as I get off, I'm going to back up and have a nice bulgogi dinner.
Okay.
The E-Ray is one of three hybrids that General Motors has. Believe it or not, all three of those hybrids are Corvettes, including a 1,250 horsepower ZR1X. The most powerful, the fastest Corvette ever, able to hit 60 in about 2 seconds. So Everything you thought you knew about hybrids might be wrong, even when it comes to the original hybrid, the Prius, which ain't the Prius that your father, so to speak, knew.
Right.
Well, you know, I think one of the things that makes the hybrid make more sense is, first of all, the range. I mean, I for the first time rented a Tesla EV when I was out visiting California last year, and I love driving it. It was a fun thing to drive. It feels very futuristic, but man, the inconvenience of having to go find a charging station and plug in, to have to figure out where you're going to do it, and then to sit around waiting while you do it, the hybrids just seem to make a lot more sense in terms of practicality.
For a lot of people. Now, I'll turn that upside down. I own an F-150 Lightning. And guess what? Every day, I come out to a full tank of electrons, so to speak. So the number of times that I've had a charge publicly in the nearly 4 years I've owned it is less than a dozen. So the reality is, if you have a place to plug in at home, which most EV owners do, you don't have to worry about plugging in. You have a full tank every day. You don't have to worry about in the middle of winter finding a gas station and doing that. But let's talk hybrids. So for people that think Prius or some other stone pony when they think about a hybrid, yeah, that was what hybrids were originally. They were slow. You sacrificed comfort, you paid premium, you sacrifice performance and the fun to drive factor for that extra fuel economy. And here's what's interesting, is the latest generation, including the Prius, are now putting a premium on the fun to drive factor. The latest generation Prius, which the North American Car of the Year Award went to in 2025. And I'm a juror on that jury, 50 North American auto writers. That latest version gets about 50% better fuel economy, better horsepower, higher horsepower, even while it got an extra mile a gallon fuel economy. So there's been a big change in what the automakers do with their hybrids. They are starting to recognize that they can give insane fuel economy, 40, 50, 57 miles a gallon, and yet also have a lot of fun, because electric motors deliver incredible off-the-line torque. That's what gets the wheels spinning. Mm-hmm. So the latest hybrids, like the one I'm driving over here, which is a version of the Kia Seltos, the new Seltos, the fun-to-drive factor is changing the whole perception of what a hybrid's about.
The U.S., Paul, seems to be zigging, and Europe kind of zags when EV sales are booming there. What are they getting right that we're not?
Well, the EV market over there is a little bit different. You don't have as much distance to drive. There are smaller, more cost-effective solutions over there. And you don't have a political situation where you have, to be honest, a president who thinks windmills cause cancer and EVs are deadly, or whatever his argument is. China right now, between plug-in hybrids, which are even closer to an EV, and full EVs, are going to make up about 50% of that market this year. The U.S. is the outlier, where EVs aren't catching on. But what's interesting is all the executives I'm talking to and the data I'm seeing says that now with gas over $4.50 a gallon, probably heading to $5, the number of people that are talking EVs and starting to buy them is starting to rise again. But hybrids are where the big growth has been. The percentage of hybrid sales has doubled in just 2 years. And by the end of this year, places like Cox Automotive estimate that as many as 1 out of 5 vehicles sold in the United States could be a conventional hybrid, like the Prius, like the Kia Telluride, or even, if you want the speed, the Corvette ZR1X.
Yeah, I think another difference between us and Europe is Europe has embraced mass transit. You have a lot of high-speed rail, so if you're traveling far distances in Europe, they're kind of used to doing that, even commuter rail in the cities that, you know, we just have not adopted that culture. But in terms of the functionality of a hybrid, not having ever driven one, do you choose when it runs on gas and when it runs on electricity, or does it do the thinking for you?
The typical hybrid will basically decide what is the best mode. So in most cases, what will happen is they will be operating when you're accelerating. They may be operating only on gas, or they may have a bit of power that they're drawing from the battery and the electric motors at the same time. When you're cruising on the freeway, in some cases, they may go pure EV for a little bit, and they'll go back and forth.
And do you feel the difference when those shifts happen?
In some models, you might hear a little difference. You might notice that the gas engine is shut off briefly, but typically not. That's what's really cool about the latest generation. When they go back and forth between gas, electric, or both is all but transparent. You may not even notice what's happening. And some of these models do have an EV button. So let's say you're driving in the center city or something like that. You can press the EV button and you might get, they're typically small batteries, so you might get a couple miles at most in all electric range when you're operating at slower speeds, you know, just in dense traffic.
And Paul, quickly here, you know, 5 years from now, when we look back at this moment, is it going to be a turning point, or is this just a kind of a bump in the road? What do you think?
Well, we have to wait and see what happens in terms of the war and gas prices. I would say, I would put my money, as somebody who's followed this industry for almost 50 years, I would put a good bet down that by 2030, probably 60%, 50 to 60%, let's say it that way, of the vehicles sold new will have some form of electrification, whether they be hybrid, plug-in hybrid, or pure electric. Even with the changes, even if we don't see the government come back in with subsidies for electrified vehicles, they're so good, and the cost gap is coming down so fast that I would expect at least half. And some people say that it will be the rare vehicle by 2030 to say 2032 that doesn't use some form of electric assist, if not go all electric.
Paul Eisenstein, editor-in-chief, headline.news and the news Substack, The Car Collective. He's published a story about hybrids this morning. And, Paul, how do we get the that story?
Well, you go to headlight.news, or you can check us out on Substack, thecarcollective.substack.com, or just go to Substack and look for The Car Collective.
Very good. Paul Eisenstein, appreciate you, man. Thanks a lot.
Great to be with you.
Coming up, those Pistons. I'm going to try to keep my composure when we talk to Eric Vinson, Detroit Pistons reporter from ClutchPoints.com, next at 6:49 on JR Morning.